laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, yo, welcome back to Banter with the Boys, Fast Laps, we're back. I'm yelling, I feel like the Tasmanian devil, you know what I mean? Like, it's time to go, fellas.
That was a lot.
I thought I was going to come hot out of the gate, but you did it for me.
I'm a little scared.
Oh, Joe, welcome back.
I am so excited to be back. This is like the one thing I've been talking, like people tell me, what are you looking forward to this year? It's been this. I am so excited. We're going racing again this weekend. A lot of stuff happened over the winter break.
Which isn't even that long. When you actually look at it on a calendar, it's not
It's a long season, March to December. Yeah. It's crazy.
But we're already back at it again, and Mike is going to be joining us, hopefully, for all season, or at least...
As much as I can, you know? I'm going to be here as much as possible.
Well,
you know?
We'll see. Well, this one's got to go well first.
Yeah.
And then we'll make
If they let me back.
We'll make the executive decision.
If you just see me making notes, don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. And obviously, don't forget Kev behind the scenes here, making everything happen for us. Magic. Audio, video for our YouTube folk. But before we move right into the off-season recap, Mike's got something on his heart.
So, for people who are unaware, Joe and I have a little bit of a history of getting each other Christmas presents.
Oh, no!
And I didn't give you your Christmas present right away, so I figured what better place to do that than here on the pod.
Oh, no. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I know Mike got me something. he just hasn't given it to me yet.
Oh my gosh, it's in a box, man. Too.
By the way, it is March.
it is March right now. Yes,
and they are friends, actually. They see each other.
We've seen each other once or twice, yeah. So I got you a little something. I hope that you enjoy this.
Oh, no. Kev, if you want to put it on my camera.
Oh, man. Is that from his store?
Oh, man.
Like Max? No,
this is the four-time world champion Max Verstappen shirt.
Wouldn't you know, for your favorite driver.
For the Max Verstappen fan.
You know what has to happen now, right?
What's that?
Kev, can we pause for a second?
Whoa.
You want to pause?
Yeah, let's pause for a second.
All right.
And we're back at it. Oh, Joe's back wearing the Max Verstappen shirt.
His favorite driver. Congratulations.
My favorite driver.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It's me. Who brought this to?
It's me, Max Verstappen.
Was that the gift last year, wasn't it?
That was the gift last year. Yeah.
So for our Spotify listeners, there's a, I don't know, a gift wrap stick with a Max Verstappen face on the end of it.
We just have all the props this season.
This is excellent. I'm loving this so far.
It's a pretty nice shirt.
It probably will be the only time I wear it.
That's fair.
But
that's fair.
Tell you what, if this guy comes with his fifth WDC, I'll be wearing this for that episode.
Okay. Hey,
I look forward to that.
All right, we got
I'll come
it.
Decked out. I'll get a hat.
Whoa! He's talking about spending money on him now. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, with that. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, you get to enjoy Joe wearing his favorite driver for the rest of this episode. With that, let's head right into our off-season recap. And to start off our off-season recap, it has been a long day. Been a long off season.
Mm-hmm.
With that, this is just a real quick recap. But if you have anything to say, let's talk about it. Liam to Red Bull. Obviously, a lot of us had some questions. I'm in the question crowd personally, but I want to hear what you guys got to say.
Yeah, probably the most anticipated news leaving last season. Because I don't think it was confirmed until like off season, right?
That sounds
like just a little bit after.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know what to say. I don't think Liam even really proved himself that much. I don't think Yuki did either, but he's the obvious choice for me over anyone, right?
Yuki over Yeah. Liam?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
sure. Me too.
There's an argument, I guess, like, they watched, they saw Liam in the car. Like, they put Max and Liam, like, side by side in the same car, and Liam was only a couple tenths off. I was like, yeah, but Danny was, like, the same thing, and he's out of the sport now. And
there's,
so,
there's been races where Sergio has done the same.
Yeah.
So my thing is like, if Liam comes in here and is doing the same thing as Sergio's doing, or did, it's like, is that really a win? Like, if Liam consistently, let's say, gets P8 through P10, you know what I mean? Can he get better than P8 consistently?
I mean,
without getting into our predictions, we'll wait on that, right?
If he's doing P8 to P10, he's already beating Checo. I mean, let's be fair, as...
Yes and no. It also depends on where Verstappen is and what the car's doing, right?
But yeah, and do they give him grace, like, knowing that he's a semi-rookie?
Yes, considering he's got a car, like, when I didn't think he'd be in V-carb, at least, I figured, but...
They gave Pierre half a season, right?
Mm-hmm. Was it even a full half season? I don't even know.
I think it was a full half season.
Yeah, and then Albon finished,
He had been driving in AlphaTauri for a while at that point, though.
Right.
So... I mean, they can't afford to let Liam, you know, ruin races or not finish well consistently.
I mean. Yeah, for sure.
But what are they going to do, right?
Would they do a mid-season swap if it was like a...
If it's going really
With
bad.
Yuki, obviously, is what I'm talking about. Not Isaac.
Almost assuredly.
We'll get
Unless,
to Isaac.
God forbid, Isaac Hajar is just, like, lighting up the circuit, which, I mean, we'll get into, but, I mean,
they brought Liam in. They could bring him in.
I mean, right? It's... And I know Christian Horner is, like, a big Isaac Hajar fan. Like, he's been fighting for this guy since day one. So, I mean, I guess maybe. And clearly they have no interest in Yuki for whatever reason. So.
Yeah, I think if I'm Yuki, I'm looking out. Looking to get out ASAP out of the Red Bull organization. Hamilton to Ferrari, obviously we kind of knew that one.
It's so weird seeing him in red.
It's hard for me to talk about that without getting into predictions. Personally, because I don't. I'll just hold it. I'll hold it for later. I'll hold it.
I mean, you can say what you want without saying. I just think
It's not going to be drastically different than last season for Lewis.
I will agree with you.
I think it could be better, and it probably will be better. But I don't think it's going to be drastically better. Mm-hmm. And Ferrari brought a new car like a year away from new regs. So I don't know. It just seems weird what they're doing. I like the move of bringing Hamilton in, though. Mm-hmm. I think, and then if you had to make the decision, if you already had that plan, you had to make the decision between Charles and Carlos, I think you made the right decision. Mm-hmm. You know, as hard as it is to move on from Carlos, and as hard as it is to see him go to a, you know, mid-pack car, you know, but...
I mean, you could make the argument that maybe that decision shouldn't have been made at all. They just kept both Charles and Carlos.
And they absolutely
could
have.
But when Lewis Hamilton comes knocking on your door,
that does not.
Are you going to not take him?
That doesn't happen.
How do you not take one of the greatest drivers of all time?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
It's just a shame. Yeah. Shame for Carlos.
I mean, good for Lewis. We'll see. Hey, he could rejuvenate and set the record, right?
He definitely needs a fresh car, I would say. Yeah.
Well, this is about as fresh as he's going to get, a brand new car.
Yep.
So, and testing. Ugh, we'll get to testing. All right. Bottas to Mercedes as a reserve. But rumor has it that Bottas could have been a reserve anywhere. Like, there was multiple teams interested in him. Mm-hmm. Maybe a team would make a play to somehow obtain him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like...
If they needed one for any reason.
Merck is where he belongs, right?
Oh, like, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, if Kimi wasn't in the car, I think Bottas would have been in the car.
Yeah. And, I mean, kind of speaking of Kimi, and I don't think he's on our list for this quick recap, but, I mean, if Kimi can't hack it, they should put Bottas in.
Yeah, we'll get the Kimi.
Right? Yeah.
Well, Kimi's also not on our rookie look, but we'll talk about him there, too, which is in just a moment. Just a moment. Colapinto to Alpine. So this is interesting, and I don't know. I don't know who put this in here, but rumors to take Mr. Jack. Is it Doohan?
Doohan.
I've heard it so many ways, and today I've been listening to a lot of F1 podcasts, so it's all coming from across the pond. So they say it completely different.
Yeah.
You know, but old Jackson. I think it's weird for Alpine to sign Colapinto to a long-term deal. Like it's a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
As a reserve driver,
I think
that's a.
I think Alpine has sent a message to doing at this point. And being they, like this is the sort of Damocles over your head. Like you better compete with Pierre, because if you don't, there's an Argentinian axe coming down.
And they say that's not the case, but come on. You don't sign a reserve driver for that long after running a few races in F1 last year. Like, okay, you have plans for him. Yep. You know what I mean?
You know, Flavio giveth, Flavio taketh away.
He do. Yeah. He's known to be cutthroat. That is like his, that is his shtick.
So is this more of a trial run for Doohan to try to get a job somewhere else? You know what I mean? To put his name on the map?
I think he just wants a drive, right?
That's what I mean. You know? Like, and this is his opportunity, right? So, but that's, you know, it's to that point. If he can't keep up with Pierre, like, well.
But here's the thing. We have Colapinto, who has been in many full races. Doohan
has not
been
done
in one.
Super well, per se.
He had a really strong start, but yeah, he didn't really, like, you know, fulfill, I would say, by the end. But he still has good experience. So like, it wouldn't be like a crazy, it would be crazy to see it happen, but it wouldn't be a crazy thought to be like, you know, Doohan gets last place the first two races, throw Colapinto in there. Yeah. Like, right. Dude, like two races, obviously insane, but
I mean, I've been hearing like, there's, they're like, Twitter is sitting here talking about like potentially as early as them axing him this weekend, and I'm like, that's,
which is such,
that's crazy.
There's no
crap.
Like, especially not with what is
rubbish,
effectively his home race. Like,
I've heard that a lot today.
Yeah. Rubbish.
Is Doohan, is he Australian or is he New Zealand?
I think he's New Zealander,
okay,
isn't he?
I think
that,
so. I thought,
correct,
he was British.
But no, like, I think he's right.
That means that Australia is basically his home race.
No, Jack Doohan is Australian.
He is Australian.
Apologies, yeah. Newfies.
So this is his home race. Okay.
That's exciting.
Well, we'll see. He's got to start hot. Joe to Ferrari in the reserve role. That's a good move for Joe.
Yeah, I feel bad for Joe. You know, he got thrown in a bad car and then had a bad season.
He did, but at least he's reserved for a team that, again, we'll get into this season, whatever you think, but at least the team that's probably going to come out of the gate at least, probably still in that top four range next season. You know what I mean? So he's still a part of a good organization.
Yeah. Right. Oh, absolutely. But, and we've seen reserve drivers make moves. Like, we could see Joe in a Haas, you know, in a couple years down when
possibly,
you know, Esteban can't deliver again or something like that.
Oh boy.
Well,
and then,
you know, Cadillac's joining. We'll get to that. Yep. You know, there's going to be two seats open for that. Andy Cowell to Aston Martin as the team principal.
Yep.
Yeah. Was he from somewhere? Was he from? No, not Red Bull. Ollie's from Red Bull, right?
Ollie's from Red Bull.
Okay.
I can't.
He is from somewhere. I don't remember where.
I can check really quick.
Probably Red Bull.
Joe's already on it. It is probably Red Bull.
Probably Red Bull. They've been siphoning people off Red Bull like crazy.
I think it was Red Bull. Yeah, he was an engineer at Red Bull.
Yep, that makes sense.
Of course he was.
That's what I thought.
Oh no, it was Mercedes. Mercedes high performance powertrains. It was Mercedes, not Red Bull. Red Bull tried to sign Andy Cowell, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. But he went to Aston. To work with Newey. Okay.
That stroll check, baby.
Yeah, I mean, or that too. That too. All right. Rookies. We're gonna be talking about these guys literally all season. So we don't need to spend a ridiculous ton, but there's going to be a lot of rookies in the field. I don't know the most since, what do you think? I don't even know. I should have looked that up.
Hmm.
Most rookies in on the grid.
Oh.
Like, probably since, I don't even know. Like, it's got to be crazy. Has there ever been that many?
2017 or something like that.
Like, you know, Jack, I still consider a rookie. Liam is not probably classified a rookie, but
2001, there were seven rookies.
Whew. Holy crap.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Okay. Been a while.
2020, and 2025 has six now.
Okay. So what's your take then on Ollie Bearman then?
I'm really excited, especially after everything we saw last year. I think Ollie has potential to be one of the best out of these rookies. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to get the most points because he isn't a Haas.
Correct. Right.
Obviously, I think it's fair to assume that Kimi is probably going to get the most points out of all of the new drivers because he's in the best car. But with that said, I think he's got some of the most potential. I don't think he has the most potential, but he's up there.
Okay, fair enough. You excited to have him though?
I am. I'm very excited.
As a Haas fan.
As one of the 12 Haas fans.
As one of the 12 Haas fans.
We are excited.
Wearing it proudly. Jack Doohan, we've already talked about Jack, really. I also have an Alpine hat now for this season.
He's a real F1 fan now.
I'm a real F1 fan after 6 years.
Third fast lap season, we got you a hat.
Yeah. We're starting the third fast lap season. I finally have something F1 related to wear on the on the show that we do, this thing here. Set to possibly be replaced. Okay, Isaac Hadjar.
Yes, Isaac Hadjar.
I think he'll do all right in the V car. What do you think, Joe?
Oh yeah, I think he was incredibly strong, like in his F2 showing. I think he was consistently battling with Gabriel for the championship. Yeah. And
he was up there almost.
If we were to put them in last year's cars, obviously he'd be scoring more points than Gabriel would. So I think he's. I don't know if he's going to match Yuki, but I don't think he's going to be far off. I think he has a good opportunity to really, like, you know, get there.
I don't know if I'd go quite that far. In his first season, I think he's probably going to blunder a little bit. I think Yuki's going to run away with it this season, but I do think that he will score a couple of points.
Mm-hmm. How many points? Just a couple. Just a couple.
Just wait until we get to my talks about constructors.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's keep moving. Gabriel Bortoleto.
Hey, he's the F2 champion.
I'm so excited.
Real crappy car.
I was just about to say the same thing. No, don't. You don't have anything to be sorry about. It's unfortunate, but he gets a drive. That's what matters.
Straight up.
Does he beat Hulk?
No, God, no.
Nah, I don't think
so.
No chance.
Hulk's been in the sport forever. You know?
He has, super, but the car's so he's bad. Like
the second most seasoned driver on the grid.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta like compare him with like Joe, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And Joe did. There were some races when Joe was a little bit of a Botas, but neither of them were making points.
Well, the car would never really finish a race. Like they would start hot, and you're like, oh, we could see a point or something, and then
I think
you just
As I am like number one Bortoleto fan, like I'm so excited for him. I think he's only gonna score like maybe 2 or 3 points.
That's still pretty optimistic, I would say.
If that, like, I don't think he's scoring any points.
I don't think so either.
I think Hulk's lucky to get a point.
I think we see Nico get a couple points this season.
All right.
Well,
not too many, just a few.
Tell us just a couple fun facts about Bortoleto.
What do you mean?
Just like he was F2 champion. What else is cool about him? Like, did he do well in F3?
I mean, that's his biggest accolade would be F2 champ.
He won some other championship. God, what the heck was it? I was like listening to him because like when I first heard about him, I know he's from the McLaren, McLaren Academy, and he was like a big rising star in the McLaren Academy. Mm-hmm. He was like Zach Brown was putting a bunch of money and a bunch of time into him, and basically was like, hey, my drivers aren't going anywhere, but I want this guy to do something, and he's gonna be really good, so he shipped him off.
Yeah,
and that's how like Kix Albert picked them up.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You said he was a numbers fan, so I thought you might have. I'm just excited. I got you.
He was an F3 champ too.
Dope. Yep. A fun fact about him: his manager is Fernando Alonso.
No cap.
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
I love it.
This is a weird plug for F1. They released a rookie roundtable today on YouTube. Really fun watch. They all act like school kids. The interview had to like shush them down like for part of the interview because
That's
they just
hilarious.
Started ranting.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch that.
Bortoleto. I think it's unfortunately he's in a kick because he looks like he could be a big competitor as well.
But remember, that kick is going to be an Audi next year.
And they're probably just going to be as
gonna
bad.
They're going to be garbage. But I am
riding the cope train.
I am too. Trust me.
They're going to be good.
I'm not riding it as hard as
you are.
They're
going to be good.
You guys are dreamers, man. Okay, Kimi Antonelli.
I mean, like you said, he's in the best position to score the most points out of all of them. I mean, yeah.
Who's going
to
beat him?
We'll talk about, I guess, I mean,
okay, well,
we're
okay,
about to get
okay.
into preseason.
Hypothetically, we'll get into it, but like between like him and Liam, like can he consistently beat out Liam?
Oh, you know, I actually don't
Liam
know.
Liam Lawson.
Yeah,
sorry,
I just had to clear that up. I actually don't know.
As opposed to the other Liams on the track.
Because I think it's going
to. Try to clear it up.
I won't know. I won't have a good opinion until we see them race. Like, until we see the cars race specifically.
Well, which is
absolutely
a factor.
Kimi crashed a couple times last year.
I'm sorry, dude. The line he said last year where, like, he wasn't, like, fully ready or whatever after that F2 race or whatever. Like, I just... I get it. Did you not like it? He's just trying to be humble, but, like, not saying that he's pretty much saying he's not ready. So, like, I'm just concerned about possible carnage, you know, this year with... With Kimmy.
I don't know. I appreciate a, you know, a humble kid.
No,
you know?
For sure.
And a lot of people are sitting here trying to compare him to Max Verstappen. Do we remember Kimmy what Max Verstappen... Kimmy.
Oh, I don't...
do we remember what Max Verstappen's first year or two looked like? He spent a lot of time in the barriers.
Mm.
Like, Max crashed quite a bit. And so I think we could see some of that out of Kimmy, too, because Kimmy's just trying to push really, really hard and prove that he's got that pace.
Sure.
And so
I think
there's a chance Liam could outscore him.
If cars match recent form, Liam's going to be ahead, especially because he has two half seasons of experience. Liam should be ahead of Kimi.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as Red Bull did not completely destroy their car over the offseason, which I don't think they have.
They've made a lot of minor adjustments, allegedly, according to Horner, that you can't see.
But... That also being said, if Kimi does not score any points for the first, like, five races, like, do they sub Bottas in, like, right?
Well, is that a simple switch?
Can you just sub a reserve into that spot?
I don't know if I've seen Merck do that stuff before, you know?
Can you, though? Like,
I think you can.
They're on the same team. So.
I mean, they did that with Red Bull. Like, they kicked Danny, and then they brought Liam in, and he was a reserve driver for them.
Yeah, but Danny was injured.
No, this was last season.
Oh, yeah, last season. Oh, you know what? Actually, good point. No, valid. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's Red Bull. Merck, I don't know if I've seen them do something like that before.
I think Mercedes, if
with Bottas lurking, you know what I mean?
I'd like to think they have more class, but it's possible because they have Bottas on the sidelines that they could be like, if Kimi just isn't.
There's no way he doesn't score five points.
Oh, yeah, I agree. There's no way. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to be scoring.
I'm not a Kimi fan. I don't think he's going to be awesome right out of the gate. Like, there's no way. I bet he scores at least a few.
Oh, I think so.
I think if Kimi is just not scoring at all, and if George is struggling too, I think Mercedes might even just be like, you know what? It's not our season. Regulation changes next year. Kimi, get used to the car. Take the season. Get used to the car. We're going to focus on next year. They'll still bring a couple upgrades here and there to stay in top four, you know. But aside from that, they're just going to focus on next year, let Kimi get the experience, and then go from there.
I would even go as far as to say is that might be what they're doing already.
Very possibly. Like,
100%.
We want to come in with a really fast car, but really, we're getting Kimi up to speed. We're getting ready for next year. You know, it's unfortunate that we might match what we did last year, but we're hoping the car's at least a little better.
I think they're going to come out of the gate firing next year. I think Mercedes, so but all right. Caddy. Cadillac officially joins
last week. Yeah, this last week is official. How you guys feeling about it? You guys excited?
I got so mad. I saw somebody say, "I'm so excited to finally see an American team on the track."
Oh my gosh!
That's actually funny. My dad emailed me because he emailed me the headline of Caddy joining. I'm like, there's already an American team on the track.
He's getting a text from me tonight.
Yeah, and what's funny is that Haas is like a manufacturing company, and he's like in manufacturing himself. So I'm like, you should know this. And he's like, I don't care. I'm looking forward to it. It means two more drivers
get seats,
right?
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Rules kind of have to be thrown up a little bit with a 11th team.
Oh, yeah.
22 drivers. Are they bringing their own engine? They are, yeah?
They are, yes, but
not until 2028.
Who are they taking?
They said that they aren't expecting their new engine until the earliest end of this decade.
Are they taking Merck engine then next year?
They're taking the Ferrari engine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They're going to take the Ferrari engine. They'll be driving under Ferrari for 3 to 4 years, and then they hope to have their own powertrain built by the end of the decade.
Ferrari is an American engine manufacturer.
I guess to
spark the team with PR and funds, it's going to be Danny Ric and either Sergio makes a return or Yuki.
I don't think it can be Sergio because I think only one country likes Sergio, like, enough for that to, like, really spike PR. But it's a big country.
Checo actually, I think, is pretty high on the on the ticket. Yeah, because I mean, it's an American based company, and Mexico and America, you know, or Mexico and the United States, we have a relationship. A lot of times when Checo would come to the United States to race, he would have a lot of fans that would show up here.
Kev's pulling up Logan Sargeant.
Kev thinks Logan Sargeant will be in the American team.
We do need to bring up. Okay, no. I do actually want to point out that Cadillac, Cadillac did actually make an announcement today talking about how if they are going to have an American driver, it will be on merit alone. They are not going to pick up an American driver strictly because they are American. If they are going to take an American driver, it will be for merit.
Right, right.
But, and that was an announcement from Cadillac today.
And I don't think they have...
Cool, I'm cool with that.
I don't think they really have any...
There is a driver that they're looking at from IndyCar. I forget his name, but...
one of the top?
Michael and...
Hunter Ray?
Andretti really likes him, something like that, yeah. He's an IndyCar driver... An American.
I'm trying to think. There's been the last champion. Oh no,
Cadillac. Colton Herta.
That's it. Yes, Colton Herta. Yeah, he is kind of a hot topic button right
Interesting.
Now. There are if there's any chance of an American driving for Cadillac, he's your guy.
Yeah, but a different. It's still open wheel racing, but it's a different motorsport.
It
so
is.
It's interesting.
So it's
going
to be interesting.
Yeah,
and we've seen the other way around, but going from Indy to Formula One is going to be different.
I mean, you know, you hear it all the time. Formula One is like, you know, the pinnacle, the top, right? Obviously.
Premier.
You ask someone, Kev said NASCAR off screen. You ask someone else, they're going to disagree with you, which is fine. I think you're right, though. Danny Ric would be a good PR choice.
I don't think he'd be a good choice in the car.
Just for like one, two years, and that's it.
But he's a resident. I mean, he's like, you know, he's an Australian American. So
true. I would love to see it. Danny's my favorite driver. I would love to see it. Danny has already stated the fact that he is not coming back to Formula One. So
okay,
right, correct. He has.
I don't see it happening.
But
that was before Cadillac being announced. You are correct. So. It is possible that his tune could change.
They need to bring some Red Bull money,
zeros,
though. Yeah.
With enough zeros, I mean, Danny could be like, you know what? What's one or two more seasons?
I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think he's going to do it. I think it's just the drain from everything and, like, the emotional drain from everything he went through at Red Bull when he left there. I just don't see him coming back.
I think a really good contender for that for a driver would be Bottas's mullet.
I think Bottas is
not a bad move either.
Oh, Bottas is mullet.
Oh,
just
his
mullet.
Just his mullet.
Just his mullet for Cadillac. Yeah, that actually that tracks.
I hope they put it on the car.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, real quick. FIA swearing debacle.
Okay, this is like old news at this point, right?
It is.
Can we just agree how stupid this is?
It is extremely dumb.
It's dumb.
But it also goes really deep, like, into, like, you can't make any... You know, religious statements either, or any, what was the other thing? Like in one of the other podcasts I was listening to the other day, actually, not today, but somebody was like, so if a driver happens to be, you know, a Christian or religious or whatever, and they're off to the side praying or doing whatever they need to be doing, well, if the camera catches them, how do you deal with that? Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm like, see, and to me, like, that's messed up, you know, so...
Yeah,
I don't know.
FIA
is turning into a dictatorship, unfortunately. Like
that's a really interesting scenario. I would hope that it would have to be on the production team then, and they would have to pay a fine, or they would have to get scolded, right? Because you can't stop a driver from their religious beliefs,
right? Yeah, of course.
And I mean, swearing is crazy too, right? Because especially post race, you know, if something happens, like, don't get me wrong, yes. Sure, they're role models. Yeah, don't give me that. I know. You know, every athlete sure is considered a role model, whether they want to be or not.
Right.
They are considered to be one, right? And, like, yes, you don't need to be F this, F that, every other word. But, like, you're getting out of a race and energy's high, everything's high, like, and you let something slip, but now you're going to get suspended a month because that was the third time you let it slip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious on that train, though. So obviously the one that really kind of pushed all this down is Mohammed bin Sulayem, right? And obviously a lot of people are not happy with
MBS.
Him. And so, at the end of this season, they're doing another vote for who is going to be the next FIA president. And his biggest competitor is Susie Wolf.
Really?
Interesting.
That is his biggest competitor. And
whoa.
I'm, I'm kind of curious your guys' opinions, but I know there have been some people who have come up and stated the fact that it could create a problem because obviously Susie is married to Toto, who is a team principal for one of the teams, and that could create a conflict of interest. And a bunch of team principals and team owners have shown up and been like, we love Susie. We don't have a problem with it.
Really?
Yeah, and even Christian Horner himself has come out and stated the fact of like saying, I wouldn't have a problem. I think Susie Wolf would do a great job running the FIA.
Hmm.
Which is, like, that's Christian Horner. Like,
yeah, that kind of speaks volumes a little bit.
That's interesting. I love the idea of Susie Wolf. I do think a conflict of interest is present with her being married to Toto and also her running F1 Academy currently. Yes. She wouldn't be able to do that anymore.
She wouldn't have, she would probably step down from her position as F1 Academy.
But I just her being married to one of
It's tough.
That's a tough situation. And I feel like because of that, it probably can't happen, but I would like to see her in that position. Unfortunately,
somebody other than MBS, please. That's it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so much drama will surround it.
I would like
it.
To see Susie.
I would too. I just think there's going to be followed by so much drama. It's going to be so tiring.
For sure.
It's
going
to be over. Her job is going to be overshadowed by because she's married to one of the team principals. I would love her. I think she would be a great fit. I just think it might be too. It just might not be worth it, to be honest.
Yep.
But that being said, MBS has got to go.
MBS has to go.
Right.
Like yeah. Bad.
All right. We got to keep rolling. Probably going to have to go through these rule changes quick. There's just a few of them here. No more fastest lap point this season. I think we touched on that at the end of last season.
Very quick thoughts. Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
I hate it. I want my fast lap.
You lose a little strategy you might not have had beforehand.
It's a bummer.
You gain a little more strategy though, I think, you know, if you're not worrying about it as much, but you know, it was a nice little moment. It was also...
It's just extra points here and there.
I think I've mentioned this before. This is a bad... fastest lap is bad to have when you have a team with four cars on the grid, which we do currently.
Yeah, true.
And what happened in Singapore can happen at any point where Danny, outside of the points, can steal fastest lap and give Max, you know, a head up. That's where it's kind of bad.
That's not just a non-factor. Like,
but it happened, you know?
For sure. Like, be faster. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you know? Wow. Like,
you know what?
You're going to set me off. You're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that another driver from a different team pits outside of the point to get new tires to get fastest lap.
Sure.
You want to pit that against someone who's been driving their tires hard in first place the entire race?
Not ideal.
Joe's
like,
guys are crazy.
Joe's gonna lose it.
You guys, get on to the next
rule. Let's see. I will. driving cooling systems in place for temps over 31 degrees Celsius. That's 87.8 degrees Fahrenheit for us here in the U.S. and
you
the only
a,
place.
Sorry,
in the
go
world.
Ahead.
What's up?
Oh, I was just gonna say you had a point. We watched DTS George last year at Singapore. Looked like he was about to die.
Yeah,
this is a pretty good rule change. I feel like you know.
Yeah.
And especially since every team has to use it if they're implementing it. So, you know, we don't have to worry about like weight or whatever. So,
Let's see. Essentially, drivers can only participate in 4 of the 20 days of the testing of previous car. During those 4 days, the drivers cannot exceed 1,000 kilometers. But again, for us, 621 miles total. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a massive deal for me. Personally, but if you guys
just a rule change, yeah, you know,
yeah, whatever. Long story short, let's see. I must have summed this one up. Sorry. Teams now need to run a rookie twice per car in a year during FP1. Last season was only once per car. These rookies must have participated in no more than 2 F1 races in their career. I don't hate that.
I like that. Give the rookies more time to practice.
100%. Less
carnage.
Hopefully later down the road. Again, in a nutshell, I sum this one up too. Sorry. I don't know why I'm reading my own notes. Teams are restricted to their DRS having only 2 positions, open and closed. I think we remember a couple times last year there were some wing discrepancies with the DRS.
I believe we already saw some weird moments in testing where cars looked like their wings were going back a little bit. I think it was all within limits, but we still saw a little bit of some flexing here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Let's see. Six, quality stuff. If a qualifying can't take place, which is determined by the stewards, then grid placement will be based on current WDC standings, which I like personally. Same goes for sprint quali. If WDC can't be used, like AKA race number one, then the starting grid would be up to the steward's discretion. That I hate, but how else are you going to do it?
It's like you're limited to one race out of 24. It's probably never going to happen.
Oh, well, yeah, right.
It is good because because of Brazil, they had to cancel qualifying and then run it the next day.
Yeah.
So it's just good. They put in the rule to make sure that if a situation happened again, we had something to go off of.
So going into that, things have also been clarified. If Q2 or Q3 can't be completed, those that have started a flying lap would be higher than those still yet to leave the pit for an attempt. So let's say a red flag comes out in Q3 and two drivers could not put down any times, then they would use the ranking of the two drivers' lap times in Q2 to determine their grid position. Okay. That makes sense.
Yep, sure.
That makes sense.
Fair.
Yeah. Seems fair.
Let's see. End of season testing changes slightly. Team's first car will still be used by a young driver, which is classified as a driver that has not raced in more than two F1 Grand Prix. A team's second car is now going to be used as a, quote, mule for the 2026 tires.
Yep.
Monaco now a two-stop mandatory race.
That's pretty big. That's huge.
I would say.
I still don't think it's going to stop it from being a boring race, but no, it'll help.
I think it'll make it more interesting. Yeah. I mean, like...
slightly.
It's just... it'll make it more interesting from a strategy standpoint because it means that with two stops, if teams choose their two stops wisely... you could lose a race because your team didn't pitch you at the right time.
Oh yeah.
And so
all this
means is that Charles won't win this upcoming Monaco. Ferrari strategy will bite him again. And I feel bad. The curse is back, maybe.
So
no.
Let's say
no.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks.
I'm not
hear.
Even a Ferrari fan. Get out of here. No way.
Let's say what happened last year happened, right? Like let's say Checo or the two Haases run into a single car, destroy the track and everyone around
them. Six rookies, it could happen.
Right? But we get a red flag. That's one of the two mandatory pit stops. They still have to make only one. So if there's two red flags, you could eliminate pretty much.
Yep.
Granted, the entire grid needs to decide to eliminate that second, pit stop.
Yep.
Because if one person decides to get new tires and go long, they could maybe get overtaken by newer tires. It'll be figured out in the moment. I think that's kind of
the default strategy. That's what they did last year. I mean, like, it was literally lap one that we saw the accident happen, and everybody pit and put on hearts and said, we're going to do all of Monaco in one stint.
Yeah, that race was exciting for 2 minutes.
for the beginning, and then it ended.
All right. Most of those things, all those rule changes coming from Formula1.com, FYI. Bahrain testing, For me, I didn't see anything that really mattered that much.
I did have some notes.
Other than, like, the bus driving onto the track was insane.
Oh, yeah.
Causing one of the red... there was four red flags, and none of them were for, like, actual... like
at one point,
reasons.
Yeah, at one point, the lights just turned off.
Yeah, the whole track went dark.
Yep.
A city bus is just driving
yep.
on the track during a live F1 track session, which is ridiculous.
I don't think it could keep up.
What are your guys' notes on testing? But we gotta be quick.
Yeah,
because we gotta get to them.
Just briefly, the things that I wanted to bring up were just the fact that, like, looking at some of the times and stuff like that, I know a lot of people were getting hung up on how fast cars were going, and they were like, Williams is up at the top, this is going to be our season.
No.
And I think people need to understand that a lot of teams took very rational looks at what they wanted to do. There were only two teams that brought soft compound tires. And those were
Aston Ferrari. Showed up with three intermediates.
Those were Ferrari. Hey, it rained.
And they had to use at least one. I know. But three to Bahrain.
But yeah, Ferrari and Williams both brought soft compound tires, and that's why they seemed so fast in testing. Notably, teams... that looked really good that were taking long fuel loads and were focusing more on, like, numbers and statistics and things like that, were the teams that people are expecting to do good, like McLaren and Haas. So I'm just saying.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
I'm just saying. But Haas was on that same thing as your team.
Are you about to tell me that Haas is comparable to McLaren this year?
They're going to win.
You're just delusional.
I'm kidding. No, that's one.
Just like, oh my God. Simply delusional.
Yeah. I don't think I had too much more from... Because you hit most of the other stuff. Bus.
bus.
Rain. Bus. Rain and Bahrain.
Rain and Bahrain
bus,
was weird.
Yeah.
Lights.
Yeah. It's pretty much
craziness.
So, yeah.
With that, Kev, let's head right into our news. And with our quote-unquote news, just a couple things. It's the 75th year anniversary for F1.
First look at the liveries that we saw. Did you guys watch it? I watched it live. I don't know if you guys
watched it. I did not watch it live. I watched some of it back.
I watched it back. I watched it all back, but, like, yeah.
Yeah. Probably won't happen again. Max was pretty miffed that he got booed live when they called out his name.
It was pretty funny.
The best moment though was FIA came on screen once and the whole room booed again.
Oh man, it was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah. I loved it.
Oh man, all
it
right.
was great.
I'm gonna have to watch that. Let's see. Okay, so I just put this in here because I want to know if you guys think it's gonna be good. I don't know if you've seen the shorts of fans at races last year during the filming of this movie, which just cracked me up, by the way. But Brad Pitt's F1 movie dropping in June called literally F1, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. You want to go see
it? Is that going to be... I mean, I'm probably going to see it. It's when was... I mean, F1 movies don't come out all the time.
Yeah, right?
I don't like the story of, like, Brad Pitt, the old grizzled driver, getting back in this... Like, come
what do you
on,
mean?
Dog.
It's just a story about Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, but I'd watch that. I don't want to watch Brad Pitt driving an F1 car. I don't know. There's just me personally, but whatever. It's cool that we're getting an F1 movie, though.
I don't think it's going to be
on real tracks. Like,
yep.
Oh yeah, you know, no, yeah. Like, I think it's really cool that they were able to get footage during race, like you know, not during races, but on track
just
with
like
other
Days
cars
of Thunder.
Around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be good, but I think I'll probably enjoy it.
I'll probably enjoy it too. Just turn your brain off, watch cars drive in a circle. Mm-hmm. It'll be. A good time.
I'm hoping I don't overanalyze too much, and I'm like, that's not real.
You absolutely will, Joe.
I probably will. With Lewis as a producer, I'm hoping that's fairly minimum.
Yeah.
So,
we'll see. True. Good point. Okay. Let's see. And then I just put in here shameless DTS plug. Go watch Drive to Survive if you have not yet.
It was really good. It was a really good season.
If you want to see every single episode, Christian Horner just say something mean, that's a good place to watch it happen.
And just remember, Ari DeVerge.
It starts off hot too with Christian Horner. So yeah, absolutely. Go watch that.
Also, I don't think I knew who Flavio was until I watched DTS.
Oh, really?
And he's like one of my new favorite characters.
I love him. I was so excited when I heard he was coming back. I was like, oh my gosh.
He's like the evil genius.
Yeah, he's great.
With that, Kev.
Oh, I do have one. One thing.
Whoa,
this is
cut off.
Breaking news today. Oscar re-signs multi-year deal with McLaren.
That happened.
That happened earlier today, a couple hours ago.
The crowd goes mild.
What?
The crowd goes mild. Well, I mean, it's
what
great for McLaren.
The crowd goes mild.
It's correct.
Because we knew it was going
to
happen.
Correct. McLaren obviously wants to keep a very strong driver, and he wants to stay with a car that's possibly going to win.
Yeah,
you know?
No, totally. But it was not unexpected. This is like the same equivalent of news as Lance re-signs to Aston. Yeah, no duh.
So,
no.
Well, not necessarily because Oscar wants to win himself, right? Oh, God, it's going to get into my predictions.
Do we just continue on?
Kev, let's head into Australia GP. Starting off with Up to Speed.
Right. It is time for our faded recap of the race coming up this upcoming weekend. This year's Australian race is called Formula One Louis Vuitton Australian Grand Prix 2025. As always,
Louis Vuitton, that's new this year.
Yep, that's new this year. Last year was Heineken? I can't remember. No, Rolex. No, that doesn't make
sense.
We're
just throwing everything out there because every other race is Heineken and Rolex
it's Louis
United
Vuitton
Airways
this year.
Or whatever.
As always, a quick fun fact. It's held in Melbourne, Victoria, and is one of the oldest motorsport competitions in Australia. Another fun fact, an Australian driver has never finished on the podium here since it joined the World Championship in 1985. Mm-hmm. We have two Australians on the track, one of them in a very fast car. We could see that broken this week.
Who actually could be a winner.
He could.
This week.
He could. So, heading into last year's race, it was, I would say, probably one of the most exciting races, at least in a while, because of some of the stuff that happened very early on. We'll get into. The start was Max to Carlos to Lando to Charles. Lights out, and the top four remain in their respective positions. Max getting a good start, and Carlos keeping incredibly close behind in turn one. On the long DRS straight after turn eight on lap two, Carlos utilizes his DRS, taking the lead right before the entry of turn nine, slotting in ahead of Verstappen. And as a reminder, if Max won this race, it would be his 10th consecutive race win. Mm-hmm. Sure. Two laps later, Carlos still leading. Max start to smoke before turn six, bellowing through the DRS zone as his brakes start to disintegrate. Before the pit lane, he begins to slow, allowing cars to overtake him as he heads for the garage, his right rear brake exploding on pit entry. For the first time in 10 races, we have a fight for the lead without a Red Bull in the mix. Lap 17, another WDC experiences some car troubles as Lewis pushes through an engine failure, slowing himself down while already having less than a superior race in 16th. He's the second retirement of the day. He brings out the first virtual safety car. Lap 21, the last Red Bull and Mercedes fight for sixth place. Perez ultimately taking the place from George. He makes the move on Alonso for fifth a few laps later. Lap 29, Piastri is asked to swap places with Norris, giving him the final podium position and putting himself out of the running for the first Australian podium. It is a battle between Ferrari versus McLaren. Sainz holding superiority throughout the entire race, keeping a gap of around 10 seconds to Norris by lap 37. Further down the grid, we get to see some exciting fights for the final point positions. K-Mag swerving behind Albon, trying to find an overtaking opportunity in lap 43. This fight continues on 44 with a lunge to the inside on turn 11, almost colliding into the side of Albon, only to meet once more on lap 45, finally making the move stick and gaining 11th place with his teammate Hulkenberg in 10th. On the final lap of the race, we watch George Russell trail Fernando up to turn 6. Right before the corner, we see George rocket ahead, making up an unbelievably amount of room to the back of the Aston Martin, unexpectedly for us viewers and unfortunately for Russell as well. He loses control of his Mercedes as he approaches the back of Alonso, finds himself into the gravel, into the wall, and then back in the middle of the track at a 45-degree angle. Both of his wheels snapped and relocated underneath him. All the while, Carlos crosses the finish line 4 seconds ahead of his teammate for first place, Lando trailing them a few more seconds behind. The final signs to Leclerc, to Norris, to Piastri, to Perez. George's crash did lead to an investigation against Alonso, who eventually got a 20-second drive-through penalty after the race. Last year, that penalty was a huge talking point after the race because it was Alonso didn't touch him. He didn't touch Alonso. But something happened there where he caught up to Alonso way too quickly, was not expecting it, and then lost control. Yep. And eventually Alonso was penalized for it.
Yes. Because
Alonso was like,
it was a lot.
Line.
I remember media after, not yeah, media,
well,
but social media.
Figure out why the heck he did it.
Yeah. Social media after was just going a after legend. George, because it was obviously like he can't drive. That's why he crashed. And I'm like, I don't know, man. He took that way differently than beforehand.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Was 20-second drive through harsh? Yes.
Yes.
Way too harsh. Was a penalty probably needed? Maybe. I don't know.
My favorite is the line that he dropped it was like somebody came up and asked him like, oh, Alonso, why do you think you got that penalty? And he looked him straight in the eyes and went, because I'm Spanish. And then just kept walking.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I love Alonso, dude. He's so funny.
All right. So before we do our Australia picks, we came up with new rules for our picks this year. So last year, we picked the podium, right? Whatever, in whatever order. If they're on the podium, we get a point for each driver on the podium. So a maximum of 3 points. Then we'd have random bonus points here and there, whatever. This year, we're still going to do the 1 point per driver. But we decided that if you pick, like if my podium was Wow, I almost said Max Sergio. That's funny. Max Lando Charles or whatever. And it finished Max Lando Charles, and my max points is 6, right?
Yes. So you get an extra point if you place them in the correct podium position, as well as already getting a point for them just being on your podium.
Okay.
Yep, so you got it.
All right, fair enough. Well, that is our new rule. Mike, you're the beauty on the pod, I guess. Okay.
It's in the beard.
What do we got in Australia this week? So in order though, first, second, third, or you can go 3, 2, 1.
I don't care. What your podium's gonna be?
Yeah, it's gonna
be Bierman. It's gonna be Esteban, and then they're not gonna have a third one because everyone else is gonna crash, right?
No, it was gonna be Alonso. What are you talking about?
Oh God,
come on. No, okay. So my podium is hilariously boring. I think Lando's gonna win. Mm-hmm. I think in second place is I think in second place is going to be Oscar. And I think in third place is gonna be Charles Leclerc.
Man, honestly, I was expecting something crazier. It kind of gives me an insight into what your like whole year predictions are gonna be a little bit, and they might just be similar to mine.
It's honestly like I would love to get crazy and be like, oh, there's going to be some, like, Lewis Hamilton's just going to pop off and he's going to win this race. No, he won't. So, I'm sorry.
We accept your apology.
I wasn't putting Lewis on my podium.
I think you should go next because I lost horribly last year. Oh, wait, did we tie last year?
Or I think did I we lose? Did. Yeah, I think you and I did. Tied and then Tyler and Cole tied.
Yeah. Feels good to lose something with someone else. Yeah.
Ditto. I think. Let's see. Oh my God. Ooh. I think. Oh God. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna go Oscar, Lando. Nah. Oscar Charles. This is crazy right here. Oscar Charles George.
Okay. I don't hate it. Yeah.
I think something happens to Lando at his home.
You know what?
I think
it's
something
not his home
crazy.
Track. It's not his home track.
Isn't he Australian?
He's British.
Oh, British. Never mind. I'm sorry, but still something
happens. British bias
something
here, folks.
Something
no
weird
bias
is
here.
We love you.
Something weird is going to happen to Lando this race. Like not super negative, but something goofy is going to be.
That's some gut instinct.
Well.
Oscar wins his nuts. I love it.
No,
though.
I know.
It is nuts. It is.
I'm also Oscar first because just for the dream.
Yeah.
I want it to happen.
First.
I'd love
Oscar to win too.
Oscar to win it. Oscar first, Lando second. And I actually don't know if I agree with my second and third, but I still like them for the podium. So Oscar, Lando, and then Max.
Max, I thought about Max too.
I we'll get in. I mean, we're pretty much almost there. Do we want to start talking about how we think the teams are going to do and look at our constructors and stuff? Like,
yeah, but we definitely got to make it quick, which sucks because this is the hardest part.
I think we got this.
I think there's only going to be a little bit of bickering going back and forth, so that's okay.
I think constructors is where it gets weird. So let's. Do you want to do WDC first?
Let's do WDC first.
All right, WDC.
Or should we do constructors first?
Let's do WDC first.
Okay.
And then let's go give us your fifth driver.
My fifth driver is going to be George Russell.
George Russell. Oh, that's crazy. So is mine. You son of a bee.
That's crazy.
Okay. Well, I guess I already said mine. Mike, who's getting fifth in the WDC this year?
Max Verstappen.
Max. Whoa. Max,
you're insane, but I love it. I love that prediction so much.
Fifth for Max.
Wow. All right. So, like, can we just talk about it for a second? Do you think Red Bull's gonna make it this year? Eh?
I don't think Red Bull's gonna make it this year.
I definitely don't think.
Red Bull's got a car, and I think that they're gonna. I think they're gonna do some stuff this year, and we'll talk about it when
we're talking.
We're talking WDC.
Right.
I'm just so excited. I apologize.
We're talking WDC.
I think Max is gonna drive the hell out of that car. But
oh man.
Fifth, I think I could see him swapping with fourth for whatever it's worth. I don't see him in the top three.
Okay.
I don't see a world where he's in the top three.
Okay. And just to be clear, points for this is just you make it or you don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
We're not doing like if you're close or anything like that. It's just you make it or you don't.
Yep. Cool.
Do we want to do the same thing with how we're doing each weekend where it's like this is our top five and if you hit him in the correct position, then you get 2 points instead?
What are we talking about?
Points for WDC standings. Do we want to just do you either get a point or you don't? Or do we want to do this is our top five? If they make it in the top five, we get a point.
At the
if
end
we
of hit the their season? Position?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just end of the season.
Well, yeah. But like, do we want to just do 1 point each or 2 points if you get them in the correct spot too? Like we're doing each weekend.
Oh, I got
that's
you.
My,
I got
that's
you.
My question.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, 1 point if they're in the top five, but 2 points
okay.
if they're in
so
the correct
so we could be
spot.
Guaranteed
yeah,
sure, points no matter what. Okay, okay. I'm yeah. down for that. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
So sure. WDC and then constructors, I think we should just keep it on
yep,
point.
One for one. Yep.
One for one.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Mike, you should start at four then.
So then I'm starting at four. I am putting Lewis Hamilton at fourth.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's what is this dude on?
That's interesting.
I think Ferrari's got a car in front of them.
That's interesting. Fair enough. That means okay, you think Lewis. Charles is probably going to be up there, too, I think.
Do I?
You don't like Charles, though.
Wow. How angry would you be when I tell you Charles is going to be an 18th?
Charles is my fourth.
Charles
is your fourth?
Yep. Charles is my fourth.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and my fourth is Oscar.
How dare you?
Wow, that's honestly.
Is that low?
Maybe not unrealistic. If I'm gonna be real with you, like let's. I thought about putting Oscar in the same position, but I didn't. So.
At least, hey, we were all different. Yeah, okay, Lewis, yeah, Charles, yeah. and Oscar in four. Okay,
crazy.
All
right, crazy.
You're up.
I'm up for three.
Yep.
That's where Max is going for me. In the WDC.
I'm thinking about making a late change.
Don't do it.
But you gotta go on the fly, dog. If you're gonna
make
a change.
I'm gonna make a late change.
Oh, here it is.
No,
he's
goes
calling
next.
An audible.
I go laced. I go last.
He goes laced.
I'm going
laced.
He goes laced.
Number three. I've got Oscar Piastri.
Oscar's three. Okay.
I think
so
that's a safe spot for
one.
Oscar.
I'm gonna do something crazy.
He's calling
an
audible.
You guys are gonna hate me for it. I'm putting Max in third.
I mean, yeah. that's what I did. I
I'm
hear
switching.
You.
I'm switching my second. He was my second, but I'm putting someone else in second. You guys know who they're going to be.
Okay.
Oscar's in second.
And then Lando's winning the WDC
yeah.
for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, so it's going to be Oscar and Lando for the rest of mine. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay.
That's crazy. That's
yeah,
crazy.
You know what? I feel better about that because I think to a degree, I think you're right. I don't think the Red Bull is going to be as strong as it was last year.
I don't think Red Bull's bringing
it. I still think Max is going to bring it.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, but I don't think the car is going to be as good as a McLaren.
I don't think the car is going to be there. I just think that Max is a generational talent.
Yep.
We have to say our champion at the same time.
Okay, so
you guys are doing your
first. Just gonna say our champion.
Yeah, at the same time.
I mean, come on, let's. There's no way you're saying something different.
All right.
Three? Can I count it down?
Yeah, you got it.
3, 2, 1.
Charles.
I can't.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. I think Charles. I think
Charles.
Lando's finishing second to Charles, and
wow.
it's going to be.
That means. Wait, what's
Charles
your second?
In second?
Okay. Okay.
I think
thank
Charles
God.
I think Charles is in second. I think Charles.
If he said someone else,
and I think this
it.
Is going to be a really, really tight fight between Charles and Lando this year.
I think so too.
I think both cars are going to be really, really fast.
Wow. Okay.
And I think both of them are equivalent skill. I just think that
the McLaren's going to be a tough car to beat.
The McLaren's going to be
out of the
sure.
gate.
So.
Out of the gate yeah. for sure.
So you and I, same top five, not in the same order, but same top five. You're the only one that had someone else other than us. You did not have. Who do you not have in yours?
No,
you don't have George. You have
he
Lewis.
Had, he had Lewis. He was
yeah.
the only
oh, yeah,
one.
I have
you
Lewis
you,
top
do,
five,
you
yeah.
do not have George.
I have Lewis
yeah,
in my top five. Yeah.
Lewis is my six.
Yeah, Lewis is my six as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, can I just really quickly because
yes.
I
absolutely.
Just run through the others really quickly.
Run through it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to blow your mind.
Make sure to say in their number before.
Six.
Yeah.
So for six, I've got Russell. For seven, I've got Lawson. For eight,
no.
I've got Antonelli.
You have?
No.
Yep. For nine, I have Esteban Ocon.
You're high. This dude is high.
Hold on.
Chat clip
for
that.
For 10, I have Pierre Gasly. For 11, I have Fernando
yes,
Alonso.
Pierre could get 10.
For 12, I have Oliver Bearman. For 13, I have Carlos Sainz. 14, I have Lance Stroll. 15, I have Albon.
No.
16, I have Tsunoda.
No, Albon is
17,
not that
I have Franco Colapinto. 18,
Franco.
18, I have Isaac Hayar. 19, I have Jack Doohan. 20, I have Nico Hulkenberg. And 21, I have Gabriel Bortoleto.
How are you going to put Jack so low, but Pierre so high?
Because there's
he's going to do five races and get replaced
by
Franco
Colapinto. Wow.
Which is, yeah. That's my
crazy prediction.
That is the word on the street, though.
Your prediction is so based. It's crazy,
I think Jack gets until at least summer, and then he gets pulled.
Yeah, I think he's going to get pulled in the summer break.
You put Ocon in. in top 10.
In 10. Dude.
You put Ocon above Alonso. I want you to remember that.
Ready for
and
what?
I'm going to remember that too. So this is me entirely saying, this is a bit of a spoiler for my
constructors.
I thoroughly think that Aston Martin is going to be terrible this year.
You're going to hate my constructors.
I think Aston Martin.
How do we
want to
do constructors? Do you just want to list
them
all?
I think we should start from the bottom like we did.
Who's your 10 then? Is it who's your 10, Haas?
Kick Sauber. Oh, come on.
Well, that's my 10 too.
My 10 as well. Yep. Kick Sauber.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
we don't even need to talk about
I love Kick Sauber, but like let's be real. They're just pile. Playing the waiting game till they're Audi.
All right, so let me change. What's your 9?
My 9? V-carb.
Oh my god, dude.
I think V-carb so in my logic,
I'm making a late change again.
Red Bull is struggling this year, and we all agreed that we think Red Bull is going to struggle this year. I mean, so if Red Bull is struggling, how is their sister team going to be good, right? If the main team is doing poorly, how is the sister team going to do well? No, the sister team is going to struggle.
It's a valid
too.
Argument. It's a valid argument.
And
but...
V-Carb was struggling at the end of last season too. We saw they were probably the slowest car on the grid in Abu Dhabi. So I'm just saying, they were losing to Kick Saubers. I'm just saying. So, call me crazy. Man. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
I think I'm cooking here.
You are crazy. My nine's Haas.
You know what's funny about you saying that?
I want you all to remember this.
You know what's funny about you saying that? It's because my 9 is also Haas. I'm sorry, man. Listen, it's not the car, it's the drivers, okay?
Oh, you know what? Actually, fair. Honestly, I'll accept that answer.
If you did not have Ocon and you didn't have a rookie, I put them 7th or 6th, honestly.
I'm going to need 5 minutes to talk about this when we get through this.
Let's get 8 then. Should I start 8?
You started 8.
A V-carb. This was my late. Yep, this was a late change. I just changed
that's
this.
That's also my 8 is also.
Yep, V-carb. That's fair. I think V-carb's going to be low. My 8 is Williams.
Okay. I think you're wrong,
I think,
but that's fine.
I think so. They've got an amazing lineup, but I don't think they're going to bring the car.
All right. Let's see. I'll go. My 7 is actually Williams.
Okay. Yeah. That's
my 7 is Alpine.
Get the out of here.
They were lower. Wait, no, they weren't. No, they were at 7.
I think that's where they were at.
No, they were lower for me. I had them above V-carb initially, but I think you're right. If Red Bull isn't good, V-carb can't be good either. Yeah.
I'm with you. I think that's too low for Alpine. I'm putting Aston Martin at 7.
That's so crazy.
I think they're going to have a terrible car. And I think Alonso is going to carry that team every single one of their points.
Lance is going to struggle so much.
Yeah.
I definitely think the Adrian Newey effect is not going to kick in this year.
Yep,
but they got to be better than that. They have to be.
I disagree.
I'll just go because Aston's my 6. Like, I don't think they're going to be.
You have Williams above Aston.
No. Williams is my 7.
Oh.
Williams is a 7, yeah.
You have Alpine above Aston.
Of course he does. Come on. There's
what
bias.
Are we on?
Alpine,
we're on 6?
There's bias at this table.
Gasly finished hot last year, and he was absolutely battling and beating Alonso.
I'd like to remind you that you have Jack Doohan in your other driver.
Correct. And Aston has Lance Stroll as their other driver. I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I think it's...
You know what I mean?
Once you start getting down to the best of the rest, that's exactly what it comes down to. It's the second driver, and that's where Williams... for me, could absolutely jump up to 5.
They could.
Like, for me.
It's possible.
We don't know anything about Jack. At least Stroll is consistent, you know?
Yeah,
consistently bad.
Beaching. All right, 6.
6 is Williams. I think they're going to be best of the other rest.
So you have Aston at 5, though.
I do have Aston at 5, yes.
I've got Alpine at 6.
Okay.
And I think that's a safe place
fair.
For them.
No, yeah.
I think that's a good place. I genuinely think that that's
I think
that's
you
fair.
Having if Haas is higher than 5 for you, that's absolutely asinine.
So you ready for my number 5?
No, hold on. What are we? Are we at 5?
Yeah, because yours is Aston.
Yeah.
So you ready for my number 5?
Yeah,
is it
yeah.
Haas?
It's Haas. Okay. I think Haas is at number 5.
That's rather insane.
And I'm really excited
to talk about it. Rookie driver.
You just throw your point away like that. That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, we'll circle back to that before
What's
we end.
What's your 5?
My 5 is Alpine.
That makes sense. That's fair. I think, honestly...
Who's your 5 again?
No, Aston Martin. I feel like
last
6.
Last year, yes.
6 through...
I picked
no,
them 5
6
last
through
year,
8, I think, is pretty interchangeable. Williams, awful. Alpine, V-carb. I could see any of them taking those spots.
It's... Honestly, 5 through 8 like, for me is going to be.
I mean, you saw the point total this last year where it was like the top teams, Aston Martin in a league of their own in 5th, and then the rest of the teams.
Aston Martin was only 30 points ahead.
Yeah, but it took a while for the other teams to catch up to them.
Well, yeah, that's because they blew away at the beginning of the season.
It could happen
and
again.
Then completely stopped scoring points in the back half.
Yeah, they consistently do that, I feel like.
They do. Okay, you know what? That is a good point. They do tend to be really strong out the game.
Okay, what are we at? 4?
4, yeah.
Oh, you thinking of changing? I'll go then. 4th, and this is purely because they have a rookie on their team. It is Mercedes.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I have right now. I got to leave it, Merc, too.
Okay, what do you think?
My 4th and 3rd were really hard. This is probably the one that I spent the most time. I put Red Bull at 4th.
Honestly?
I think it could flip either way. I think it could flip either way. But I think Liam isn't going to bring enough, and the car is going to be bad.
That's fair. I think 3rd is Red Bull for me.
Yep, ditto.
Okay, well, then we know. I mean,
so yours got to be Mercedes for
3rd is Mercedes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
So two more teams. We all have the top two teams. We all have the same top two teams. Just depends on what order. You already know what I'm doing, so you can just put it down. Okay. McLaren's winning it again, and Ferrari in 2nd.
Are you different?
I think he's different. I don't think you're different, though. I think you're the same as me.
I'm not different. I think McLaren still wins the Constructors. I think it's just... Like, this early in the season, it's just too hard to tell, and they were... starting to become dominant. They're just so fast. I think the
big factor that separates the two of them, and I never
say it.
Never thought that I would say this.
Say it.
It's Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
Lewis Hamilton is not a Ferrari driver. He is, but he isn't.
He's not yet.
I think next season
he hasn't spent enough time in the car yet, and so because of that, he's not acclimated enough to this new car. Meanwhile, Oscar and Lando are
at home
in that car.
Yep.
They are as comfortable as they can be, and that is an advantage that Ferrari can't beat.
That is, I 100% agree. McLaren was incredibly I knew McLaren was gonna be one because of that reason.
Yep.
McLaren have two drivers that have driven their car for a while now.
Yep.
Ferrari has a new driver that needs to learn a new car. By the way,
yep.
I still think they're gonna be fast, and I think Lewis will get up to speed and make it. I just don't think it's gonna be.
I put him in my top 5. Like I have faith in the guy.
Yeah,
but like not that much faith.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think Ferrari is going to be fast. It is crazy to put Lewis into a brand new car. You know, Charles is going to be light years ahead of him in that sense, 100%. But there's a reason why I picked Charles over either McLaren driver to win WDC, and it's because I think it's like McLaren again, going to win Constructors. But I think as far as WDC goes, they're going to keep exchanging, you know, themselves, and then Charles is going to get everything else, I think. So by the end of the season, and I think low key, I think George gets a win this year. It's going to be early, but I think George sneaks a win out this year. Max is going to do Max things. You know what I mean? He's going to make it difficult, whether the car is good or not. He's still, for me, the best driver on the grid.
Right.
But yeah, I think there's going to be too much battling. I think everything's going to be mamby-pamby land early season for the papayas. But I think mid-season, late season, when things are starting to get a little more dicey, I don't trust that Lando and Oscar are going to play nice together by the end of the season. And that's why I'm uneasy about Oscar signing that multi-year deal with McLaren. Personally,
I see what you mean.
At some point, Oscar's going to be like, I want my shot.
Oscar, McLaren has said before, they're not a 1-2 driver team. They're both their drivers are their apex drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, that's going to unfortunately cause a couple issues.
At some point, it could be next year. It could be 3 years. We don't know.
I think Oscar could fight for the championship this year. I'm going to say that
Oscar's
right now.
More aggressive than Lando.
Yeah. I think Oscar could literally win this thing.
He's
got to
figure out how to do one lap, though. He's got to figure out his one lap, because his why am I forgetting the name?
Qualifying?
Qualifying, his qualifying has struggled.
So sure. I mean, yeah, I think that's fair. He's I mean, Lando problems. Starts has struggled, right? True. I yep. think every driver has their own thing they need to work on, yep. but Oscar, he's had an incredibly strong rookie season, incredibly strong second season.
Oh, 100%.
He yep. won two a championship wins. In his second season. Yeah, like, I don't hear enough people talking about that.
Oscar, I think, is a future WDC, and it could be this year, which would... I'd be okay with, yeah.
Crazy.
As you see it, 1-2.
Yep. I mean, WDC, yeah.
So.
You have Haas in fifth.
Yes.
What's wrong with
you? I need to argue
close
this.
Close out with that. And then I need to argue this. We got to close this thing up.
So I think that Oliver Bearman is one of the better rookie drivers out of all the rest of them. He already has experience in the car. We saw him drive the car twice last season. And... He's got an aptitude for it. So I think that we're going to see Oliver Bearman do well and do better than some of the other drivers given the car, or better than some of the other rookies given the car. And I think that in regard to Esteban Ocon, I think Esteban Ocon's biggest problem in the last couple years that we've seen was Alpine. I think Alpine didn't treat him right. And he's gone on record to state the fact that Alpine did not treat him right. They did not listen to him. They did not work with him. And because of that, it created a toxic work environment for him. Meanwhile, Ayao
has... They're known for pushing people out.
Right. And meanwhile, Ayao has been very open about wanting to work with Esteban and has been very open about wanting to use his knowledge. And I think the fact that right now, because Esteban doesn't have to fight against somebody like Pierre or Fernando Alonso, he doesn't have to prove himself against a giant that he needs to slay.
He is the number one driver. The giant. Yeah.
So he just gets to go out there and be comfortable and drive the car for a team that wants him there. I think we're going to see a Esteban Ocon that he's we have never seen before. We are going to see Esteban Ocon's best season he has ever had. And ooh, probably ever
that.
Will have
I don't know about
with
that.
That
but
to be
damn
said.
It, I love your passion.
I think your passion.
I think Esteban Ocon is actually a fairly good driver. He's not incredible.
I mean,
but
you gotta be good to be on the grid.
He's been around for a while. So like, and like we've seen, he's got race wins. Like, how many other midfield drivers have race wins?
It's so really like, not that many.
And so like. You see it, like he's got the potential to do it. And so I think that there's a very real world that we watch Esteban carry this team to fifth.
Okay.
Along with the help of Oliver Bearman just being a talent.
Sure.
I could... wow, I'm an idiot. I was going to say, I could see them finishing top 10. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Holy cow.
Anyway, what were you going to say, Joe?
I just quick counterpoints.
Yes.
Esteban has proved himself every now and then, but he's not consistently good. Mm-hmm. He's going into a Haas for the first time this year. There's going to be a learning period, and that might last him half a season. It's not going to be enough to get him a lot of points, enough points. His teammate is a rookie. I don't think Bearman's going to be bad. He did get a little bit of experience, but two races, and one of them was in the sopping wet. I don't think that's enough to say he's going
in
to
Sao Paulo
do great.
Races,
yeah.
Like, this season's going to be insane.
It's a Haas. There's no way he's beating an Aston Martin. There's just no way.
I disagree.
There's just no way.
They were beating the Aston last year.
Barely.
With two different
drivers.
What
do you mean barely? They were doing it like every race. Aston was struggling to get out of 15th.
They weren't doing it every race because Aston Martin beat them by a couple like places and constructors.
So post-summer, Aston was a backmarker.
Post-summer, Aston was not... I mean,
they were
a lot of most of the bottom field is a backmarker. Haas were also backmarkers. Like, I'm not saying Aston's good. I'm just saying Aston's better than Haas.
I don't think so.
And you have two drivers who know the car and who know how to drive the car.
That is the biggest argument,
I think. You have two tenured drivers in their car. It can't happen. I'm sorry.
This will be interesting for the rest of the season. It's an interesting argument. Haas or Aston.
You know I like Haas. You know I dislike Aston.
This is coming from somebody, I'm a fan of both teams.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of both teams. I want to see both teams do well.
I dislike the people in Aston. I like Alonso.
I like Alonso,
I guess.
And I like Adrian Newey, too. Yeah. Like,
wait, let me put my gavel down. We got wrapped.
Yeah.
We got wrapped.
This has been great.
We're a solid 10 minutes over anticipated time. We knew it was going to be a lengthy one. I was going to put a disclaimer in the beginning, and I forgot. But, Mike, we are excited to have you as much as possible this
season. I'm super excited to come back. My voice went a little hoarse. I'm sure some people noticed, but I should be back.
Oh, I thought that was just your voice.
Shut up.
Dang.
Yeah, thank you for coming by. I'm super looking forward to having you on more. You have crazy takes, apparently.
You know what's funny about that shirt, Joe? I did just bring a shelf over here to store our props. You could keep that shirt here and wear it every episode.
Before one more thing.
Or we could just put it up so he has to see it every single time.
I thought
time.
I saw a glimpse of this, and then I thought it was rumor.
Would you say that, I'm so sorry, Kev, I just bumped the mic. Would you say that Haas in fifth is a certain kind of take?
Absolutely.
What would you call it?
I would call that a tinfoil hat moment.
You'd call it a tinfoil hat moment.
Kev, we got the tinfoil hat. It has made its way here.
It finally made its way here.
It's damaged.
It's damaged in shipping. I will fix it. We have the tinfoil hat. It goes to, I think it would be fun. The tinfoil hat moment goes to Mike this episode for Haas in fifth.
Mike,
Haas
with the tinfoil hat moment of the week.
And you know what?
We're going to remember this moment when Haas finishes in fifth.
I'm going to eat
Esteban
that hat.
Esteban Ocon is in ninth.
Joe's going to eat the
WDC.
I'm going to eat that hat.
I'm going to look at you and I'm going to point.
All right. with that, that's a wrap on the first Fast Laps episode of 2025. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to the banter, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. And we'll see you next week for another episode of Fast Laps.
Peace.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.